Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. Christ the blessed one gives to all, wonderful words of life. Sinner, listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever.
Did the teachings of the Old Testament become obsolete in the days of the New Testament? Of course not. On the day of Pentecost, Peter shared what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Brother David Johnson will today use that same phrase, spoken by the prophet Joel, as his sermon topic, referring to Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers sponsor this Words of Life program in an effort to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We now worship our Lord in song.
Thank you.
It's now our time for prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our blessing to simply be able to bow before you in prayer through Jesus. This privilege is given to us by your grace and not by our own merits. Please bless this radio program and all other gospel efforts. Our listeners stand in need of your help daily with concerns that they have and spiritual needs, and so we ask that you will bless them. Persecuted Christians in many locations need your protection and your help and special influence. Thank you for their faith and for your faithfulness to them. Lord, when Jesus comes back for his church, please help us to be ready to be taken with him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present in sermon spoken by the prophet Joel.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Spoken by the Prophet Joel. And our primary text is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. Please listen to the Word of God. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Quote, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the Word of God. In our text, Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21, we have preserved and recorded the beginning of the first Christian sermon given at 9 a.m. on a Sunday in Jerusalem by the Apostle Peter. Our text amounts to Peter's introductory remarks as inspired by the Holy Spirit. This first church age sermon is certainly worth hearing and studying now about 2,000 years later, in that it launched the church and led to about 3,000 conversions in Christ Jesus, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, on that first day. The book of Acts frequently records that people were persuaded to believe and obey by the early church gospel preaching. The Apostle Paul later wrote in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. There is no substitute for gospel preaching and the many truths of God. Peter, before launching into the main body of his sermon, explained what was immediately on his Jewish hearers' minds on that unique Pentecost Sunday. Remember what many stated on that supernatural day regarding how each one heard them speaking in his own language, Acts chapter 2 and verse 6. Many stated in Acts chapter 2 verses 2 through 13, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Verses, some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Peter introduced his gospel sermon with the explanation based on the Old Testament prophecy of the Hebrew prophet Joel chapter 2 verses 28 through 32. So why is this prophecy important for us to understand today? First off, because when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And we should pay attention to how it applies to us in the church today. Most Bible scholars believe Peter spoke in Aramaic, the common language, which all or most would have understood. Surely God could have again miraculously allowed all to hear and understand Peter's words however he delivered them. The previous speaking in many languages had achieved its purpose in the gathering of a great crowd around the disciples, probably the outer court of the temple. Peter was the acknowledged leader and often spokesman for the apostles during Christ's earthly ministry. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Obviously, a spirit-filled Peter was quite the opposite of the man who had cringed before a servant girl or who had denied the Lord three times. Before giving his explanation, Peter refutes the false charge that the disciples were drunk. This would have won the attention of his audience insofar as it related to something that his listeners were curious about. Acts chapter 2 and verse 15. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. With a hint of humor, Peter calls attention to the early hour, only 9 a.m. according to the Jewish terms, only the third hour reckoned from sunrise at 6 a.m., which was usually the hour of prayer, after which Jews would break their fast. It was the Jewish feast of Pentecost, and take their first food. Moreover, people generally need more time to get drunk, was Peter's point. Quickly refuting the absurdity of drunkenness, Peter directed the Jewish crowd to the true explanation, Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then Peter goes on to quote what is to us Joel chapter 2 verses 28 through 32. There were, of course, at that time, no chapter nor verse divisions in Scripture until centuries later. Peter saw this passage foretold by the ancient Hebrew prophet Joel as fulfilled on that Pentecost Sunday, or at least fulfilled in part. Many believers who had gathered in Jerusalem after the ascension of Christ had experienced the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and subsequently had proclaimed the wonders of God. Let's examine more closely verses 17 through 21. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In the last days refers basically to the time frame which began with Christ's first coming to this earth and will end with his second coming to this earth. Peter later wrote concerning Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. These last times have now lasted over 2,000 years and counting. God during this time has given us a Savior and is adding to His church, has graciously included Gentiles unto salvation, and is dealing with Israel according to His promises and timetable. Pour out my Spirit on all people could mean, during the church age, God will pour into all true believers His Holy Spirit, Jew, Gentile, male, female, young, and old. Consider Titus chapter 3 and verses 5 through 6, which says in part, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Some Bible scholars believe that the messianic millennial age is included in the last days when Christ returns to this earth to reign for 1,000 years. A commentator thus writes, quote, the complete fulfillment of Joel's prophecy awaits the coming of the millennial kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, and indeed throughout the church age, God has given both a preview and a sample of the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit will release in the kingdom age. In the millennial kingdom, God will pour forth of His Spirit upon all mankind, since all who enter the kingdom will be redeemed, according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, through chapter 25, verse 46, end of quote. Acts chapter 2 and verse 18, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Women prophesying was unusual, but it did happen, as, for example, Philip the Evangelist had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied, according to Acts chapter 21, verses 8 through 9. Some scholars believe that prophesying and God-directed visions and dreams, such as by the apostles Peter, Paul, and John, will increase in the final tribulation and during the millennial kingdom. The partial fulfillment on the Pentecost Sunday of Joel's prophecy is evident in Acts chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. This points us to the second coming of Christ to this earth. The Lord Jesus himself described changes, for example, in the sun, moon, and stars, that will accompany his second coming, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 30. Then Peter delivered the climax of his quoting from the prophet Joel. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. By Lord, Peter meant the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, setting up Peter's sermon body as to what name people must all call on and what he requires for salvation, which will be our next lesson together, Lord willing. You should also understand that on that Pentecost Sunday in the first century A.D., the name Jesus of Nazareth was anathema, accursed to the Jews. But with God, all things in his will are possible. One perspective of the name of Jesus is that there was nothing unusual about it. It was a common name, the name Jesus, in the biblical world. Many Jewish parents actually named their boys Jesus up until the 2nd century A.D. The Bible records in the New Testament four other men named Jesus. For example, consider Colossians chapter 4 and verse 11 that says in part, Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. Therefore, the name Jesus speaks of his humanity, his ordinariness. However, the name Jesus also speaks of his extraordinariness, because Jesus is the New Testament version of the Old Testament name Joshua, and it comes from two shorter Hebrew words, the name Jehovah coupled with the verb to save. Therefore, Jesus literally means Jehovah saves or Jehovah delivers. This explains the angel's message to Joseph. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This as according to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Therefore, the name Jesus embodies his mission to mankind to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus, name of wondrous love, human name of God above, pleading only this, we flee helpless, O our God, to thee. Have you called on the name of the Lord to be saved? Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This according to the words inspired to the Apostle John in chapter 1 and verse 12. May we, as 21st century Christians today, continue to proclaim God's freedom work in the person of the name Jesus the Lord, Jesus the Christ.
We pray that you are already a Christian. If you are not, please understand that you must first believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The book of Acts that we're studying shows us that believers repented of their sins, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized by immersion in water. If you have questions or comments, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for broadcast 2150. That's 2150. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.